A couple of days ago, I heard a familiar and favorite spring sound within the branches of my box elder tree. It wasn't a caroling robin or a whistling chickadee or even a squeaking grackle. The sound I heard was more like an annoyed math teacher tisking at her class. Yep, it was my first yellow-rumped warbler of the year. And even though the sound it made was not the least bit musical or complex, hearing it filled my heart with the warmth of spring. I'm not sure what it is about warblers that makes me so happy to see them. Sure, they're pretty and colorful, but most of them stay hidden in dense foliage where you can't see their beauty or colors, and the brightest of them seem most attracted to the highest parts of trees, so that the people who watch them too often suffer from a condition called warbler neck. Few warblers actually warble. Most of them have fairly quiet and rather buzzy songs. On top of all that, they abandon us Northlanders for the winter. Warblers may be fair-weather friends, but they return in time to do what they do best, consume huge quantities of insects right when we need it most. Some specialize on pests like spruce budworm, and a few sally out from branches to catch flying insects, including some mosquitoes, but just about all of them make their living eating bugs one way or another. Of course, you can't count on a reliable bug supply in March or April. That's why the yellowrump is virtually always the first warbler of spring. It's the one with longer intestines than the others, and a digestive system that produces enzymes allowing it to digest the waxy outer coatings of berries, giving it a source of calories in cold temperatures when other warblers, depending entirely on insects, would starve. Yellow-rumped warblers aren't just adaptable as far as food goes, they also can live in a wider range of habitats than other warblers, allowing them to thrive both in mature and old forests and in much younger stands, and extending their winter range all the way down to Guatemala and all the way up the eastern seaboard to Nova Scotia. No wonder they're the most abundant of our warblers and the one most able to adapt to changing conditions. For a long time, the yellowrumps found in the eastern half of the continent with white throats were called myrtle warblers because of their diet. The ones in the west with yellow throats were called Audubon's warblers. For the past 30 years or so, they've been lumped into a single species, but chances are they'll be split again. The western race has a different chip note and behaves quite differently. It seemed like an entirely different species to me when I spent a week in California observing them and recording their vocalizations. Yellowrumps nest in our forests and are abundant spring and fall migrants, but in a few weeks we'll hardly notice them as migration peaks and a huge variety of other warblers come our way. Right now we can focus our attention on the little yellowrumps, tisking at every remaining snow pile as they usher in spring from the treetops. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.